Hello, everybody. It's David Collins again, once with again with BitNote. I hope you enjoy. Hey, everybody. This is David Collins with BitNote, and if you listen to the show normally, you understand the pattern how it works. I play music from a game, I talk about how the game works. It's a very, very well established platform, but it's not going to work for this episode, and so I'm going to be doing something a little different. Just to understand why I'm doing this, let's go back to the 80s or beforehand, when text adventure games were very popular. These were games where you would type in the command into your computer and you would get a response. They had a lot of power to them. You could pretty much type in any command, although the problem, of course, was that you mightn't the game mightn't understand exactly what you were typing in. But at the same time, it was unparalleled because, much like a book, your imagination was filling in a lot of the gaps and a lot of the narrative. And unlike a lot of other games, there was a huge potential for a great variety of storylines and different things happening. There were many famous text adventure games. There was, of course, there was even a text adventure version of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that had Douglas Adams involved. And then there was, of course, the classic Zork series. Both of those were developed by Infocom, a company that was strong throughout the entire of the 80s and was bought by Activision and shut down, which shutting down happens to a lot of companies that are bought out. But I've always felt the thing with adventure games is that it was just text. There were multimedia later on. There was no music, use your imagination. But because there was no music, how could I ever talk about text adventure games on this show? I was kind of sad about this for a while, and I thought, well, I could just talk about the game and not play music, but that just sounded a little bit weak. But then I took inspiration from something that's very popular on the internet called a Let's Play. A Let's Play is actually a lot of fun. Basically, a guy plays through a video game, and he'll give a running commentary or thoughts on what it's like to play the game or what he encounters. Often, there's a huge amount of diversity. Often, it's like a video that's uploaded to YouTube or streamed live over the internet, but it can also be a bunch of screenshots and some, you know, paragraphs giving thoughts and ideas. They can be comedic, and they can also be kind of serious. But the point is, on a radio, you can't do a Let's Play, because, of course, there's not really much picture. But then I thought about Let's Play, and I thought about text adventure, and I decided, screw it. Let's put the two ideas together and make a Let's Play of Zork on this show. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, because text adventure games contain nothing but text, I am just going to play through the game of Zork, narrating it as I go, and you'll have an idea of what the decisions are and what it's like to play one of these games. To recap, the game is the first Zork. You can actually even play it online. It was originally developed by Infocom, which had a huge effect and made so many classic adventure games. And I really don't know how much else to build this up, so let's just dive right in. Okay, so I've started the game. By the way, this is, as I said, this is free online. You can even play it online, but it was released freely. And these games were originally created a lot of games machines were like PCs with keyboards, so these text adventure games were a lot easier to make because you typed in the commands. Now, obviously you'd start it up, use it often on a command line, and here is how it begins. Zork I, semicolon, the Great Underground Empire. Copyright, see, 1981, 1982, 1983, by Infocom, Inc. All rights reserved. Zork is a registered trademark of Infocom, Inc., Revision 88, serial number 840726. Well, with that wrapped introduction, let's see how the game actually begins. I am seeing this on a black screen with green text. Very, very retro. This is how the entire game goes. No graphics, no sound. This is it. West of house. You are standing in an open field west of a white house with boarded front door. There is a small mailbox here. And this is where I type it. This is where it begins. I type in the command. So I'll say, look at mailbox. The small mailbox is closed. Okay. Open mailbox. Opening the small mailbox reveals a leaflet. Examine. Leaflet. Welcome to Zork. Zork is a game of adventure, danger, and low cunning. In it, you will explore some of the most amazing territory ever seen by the mortals. No computer should be without one. Well, that seems pretty nice. Why don't we take that leaflet? Take leaflet. Taken. Great. So, this is the part. With any adventure game, you can pick up a lot of items. So let's press I and look at what we're carrying. You are carrying a leaflet. Okay, right. So, we have opened the mailbox, taken a leaflet out. There's got to be a little more to the game than this. Let's just take a quick look. Look around again. Okay, west of a house, you are standing in an open field west of a white house with a boarded front door. There is small... Okay, let's try to open that boarded front door. Open door. The door cannot be opened. Okay, kick door. Kicking the door doesn't seem to work. Okay, well... Barge door. I don't know the word barge. Okay, well, it's a ferry that runs along canals. Okay, bad joke. Okay, so obviously the direct approach doesn't seem to be working. Why don't we move somewhere? I don't know. Go north. North. You see, that's it. You type in like north, south, east, west, right? North of house. You are facing the north side of the house. There is no door here, and all the windows are boarded up. To the north, a narrow path winds through the trees. Okay. I'll dance. D-A-N-C-E. Dance. I don't know the word dance. Okay. Sing. I don't know the word sing. Okay. Jump. Very good. Now you can go to the second grade. Okay. Apparently the game is making... Yes, okay, I'm not going to explain that joke. It's got a bit of a sarcastic sense of humor. Okay, I'll go north up that path, see if there's anything there. Forest path. There is a path winding through the dimly lit forest. The path heads north-south here. One particularly large tree with some low branches stands at the edge of the path. Okay, climb the tree. Well, let's examine the tree first, because let's be cautious. Examine tree. There's nothing special about the tree. Well, some would say. I mean, I think they're great for, like, creating oxygen, putting them into the atmosphere, important environmental impact. But, sure, if you want to say that, let's climb that damn tree. You are about 10 feet above the ground, nestled among some large branches. The nearest branches above you is above your reach. Beside you on the branch is a small bird's nest. In the bird's nest is a large egg encrusted with precious jewels, apparently scavenged by a childless songbird. The egg is covered with fine gold inlay and ornamented in lapis lazuli and mother of pearl. Unlike most eggs, this one is hinged and closed with a delicate-looking clasp. The egg appears extremely fragile. Okay, that sounds pretty nice. Take egg. Taken. Okay, examine. Egg. The jewel-encrusted egg is closed. Well, that sounds like a challenge. Open egg. You have neither the tools nor the expertise. Okay. I mean, it had a fine clasp, but okay, sure. I can't open the egg, apparently. I could break it open. No, let's not break open the extremely delicate and priceless egg. Oh, by the way, there's a score in this game, apparently, and apparently my score is now 5. It was previously 0, and now it's 5. So I think, obviously, taking treasures is a good thing in this game. You hear in the distance the chirping of a songbird. Oh, that's great. That's great. So I just look around once more. Okay, I'm just going to take... Should I take the nest? You know, the actual... Nah, I'll leave the nest with the bird. Okay. Okay, down. I go down. Forest path, and I'll continue north. Clearing. You are in a clearing with a forest surrounding you on all sides. A path leads south. On the ground, there is a pile of leaves. Okay, take leaves. You take them. Oh, a grating is revealed. In disturbing the pile of leaves, a grating is taken. Open grating. The grating is locked. Okay, drop leaves through grating. I figure that way if I ever... Okay, that isn't one they recognize. Okay, south... South. I'm going back to the house. I'm back to north of the house. Let's go east of this damn house. Behind house. You are behind the white house. The path leads into the forest to the east. In one corner of the house, there is a small window which is slightly ajar. Okay, I'm going to go into the house, but first I'll just check to the east. East. clearing. You are in a small clearing in a well-marked forest path that extends to the east and west. Okay, I'll go east again. Canyon view. You're at the top of a great canyon on its west wall. From here, there is a marvelous view of the canyon and parts of the frigid river upstream. Across the canyon, the walls of the white cliffs join the mighty ramparts of the Flathead Mountains to the east. Sounds like a plateau more than a mountain, but that's just my thoughts. Following the canyon upstream to the north, Arrageane Falls may be seen, complete with rainbow. The mighty frigid river flows out from a great dark cavern. To the west and south can be seen an immense forest stretching for miles around. A path leads northwest. It is possible to climb down the into the canyon from here. Well, let's go. I was just going to go back to the house, but spirit of adventure and all that. Down. Rocky ledge. Apparently this is actually, you know, a ledge rocky and it's not a reference to Sylvester Stallone movies. That's just my hunch. You're on a ledge about halfway up the wall of the river canyon. You can see from here that the main flow of the Arrageane Falls twists along a passage which is impossible for you to enter. Below you is the canyon bottom. Above you is the Moor Cliff, which is apparently appears climbable. Let's go down. Canyon bottom. You're beneath the walls of the river canyon, which may be climbable here. The lesser part of the runoff of the Arrageane Falls flows by below. To the north is a narrower path. North. End of rainbow. You are on a small rocky beach on the continuation of the frigid river past the falls. The beach is narrow due to the presence of the white cliffs. The river canyon opens here and sunlight shines in from above. A rainbow crosses over the falls to the east and a narrow path continues to the southwest. You know, I gotta say, this is just beautiful. I mean, I can just see it there, the rainbow, the gigantic waterfall, the river, the canyon. I mean, this is what it means to be on an adventure, to go to new lands, to explore great new adventures. And I mean, it's like I said, it's like a book, because you're picturing, it's like the best parts of a book in a video game. You're picturing in your mind, but you have control over what you can and can't do. Well, to some extent, but I'm going to go back to the house now, see if there's anything cool in there. So, I'll go south. Oh, southwest. Actually, I'll check. Apparently, it's a dead end anyway, because I've reached the top of the falls. So, I'm going to go southwest to the canyon bottom and climb up the ledge. I'm back in the forest. Oh, okay, I'm still in the forest. West. I went west from Canyon View in the forest. I'm still in the forest. You need a machete to go further. Okay, go south. Forest. Okay, south again. Storm-tossed trees block your way. Okay, east. The rank undergrowth prevents eastward moments. Okay, west. Forest. North. Clearing. Look. Okay, this is the clearing. Okay, I know this one. I go south. South, forest path, north of house. Yes, okay. I'm behind house. I'll just check the south side of the house first. South of the house. You are facing a south side of the White House. There is no door here and all the windows are boarded. So, east. Behind house. Okay, let's go west and into the house. The kitchen window is closed. Okay, so open window. With great effort, you open the window far enough to allow entry. Okay. Get into the kitchen, west. You're in the kitchen of the White House. A table seems to have been used recently for the preparation of food. A passage leads to the west and a dark staircase can be seen leading upward. A dark chimney leads down and the east is a small window which is open. On the table is an elongated brown sack smelling of hot peppers. A bottle is sitting on the table. The glass bottle contains a quantity of water. Okay, so let's say take bottle. Because I don't want to bottle this. And I misspelled bottle there for some reason. And it says I don't know the words bottle. But I took the bottle. Open sack. See what's in that pepper smelling scent. Opening the brown sack reveals a lunch. And a lunch and a clove of garlic. So take lunch and garlic. Lunch taken. Clove of garlic taken. Okay, examine lunch. There's nothing special about the lunch. Well, eat lunch, because... Thank you very much. It really hit the spot. And who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? Okay, and apparently at some point my score went up to 15, so I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, but I must be doing really, really well. Okay, take sack. Now let's climb that chimney. The chimney doesn't lead upwards. Okay, go down chimney. Only Santa Claus climbs down chimneys. Okay, well, thank you for letting me know that. Okay, I think there's a stairwell, so I'll go up. You have moved into a dark place. It is pitch black. You are likely to be eaten by a Gru. Okay, just so in case any of you... Don't worry, I'll explain it later. But, okay, time to go straight back down again. I don't want to be eaten by any Grus. Oh no, you have walked into the slavering flans of a lurking Gru. You have died. Oh dear gosh. Now let's take a look here. I don't know who's saying this. Now let's take a look here. You will probably deserve another chance. I can't quite fix you up completely, but you can't have everything. Forest. Okay, so apparently I was just killed by a Gru. I have walked into the slavering fans of a Gru. I have no idea what a Gru is. I do not know what they look like. I just have been eaten by one by being in a dark place. This is rather unfortunate. For those who don't know, a Gru is kind of has worked its way, it's become like hugely popular among game players. There are people who've heard the phrase, you are likely to be eaten by a Gru, that don't even play text adventures. So this is kind of where it comes from. And apparently I was just, you got to have every place that you walk into well lit. Otherwise, you are likely to be eaten by a Gru. I thought I could get down there, but no. Okay, so I'm in a forest, so I'll go south. Still in a forest, south again. Stormtrost trees block your way. West, forest, west. You would need a machete to go further west. Okay, south, forest, south. Stormtrost trees block your way. East, the rank undergrowth prevents eastward movement. North, clearing. Great, I know where I am now. So south, forest, south. Just say north, far, clearing. Look. You're in a small clearing in a well-marked forest path that extends to the east and west. Okay, west. Behind house. Great, great. West again. Kitchen. Great. Look. Small window is open. Okay. So, your stone table seems to be used. Passage leads to the west and a dark staircase can be seen leading upwards. Well, considering the dark staircase leads to Gru's, I don't think I'll take that path. Let's go west. Living room. You are in the living room. There is a doorway to the east, a wooden door with a strange gothic lettering to the west, which appears to be nailed shut, a trophy case and a large oriental rug in the centre of the room. Above the trophy case hangs an elvish sword of great antiquity. A battery-powered brass lantern is on the trophy case. It was kind of funny because there always seems to be a bit of a mix-up with what the technology level is. You kind of go around. Okay, so take sword. And take lantern. Okay, let's see what I'm carrying. I, inventory, you're carrying a brass lantern, a sword. Okay, examine, read lettering. Read lettering. The engravings translate to, this space is intentionally left blank. Okay, open door. The door cannot be opened. Okay, so let's see, turn on lantern. Brass lantern is now on. Great. Now let's tackle that dark room again. Figure out where those grooves are. Figure out, deal with those grooves. I'm in the kitchen. Time to go up. This is the attic. The only exit leads a doorway leading down. A large coil of rope is lying in the corner. On the table is a nasty looking knife. Okay. Take rope and knife. Actually, do I need the knife? I'm already carrying a sword. I'll drop the sword. Knife. Okay. Now, this is vital because absolutely every single adventurer needs rope. Rope is essential. You are not an adventurer and you're not setting out in proper quests if you do not have rope. This is just 101. So, we're going down. Kitchen. West. I'm going back into the living room. And take rug. The rug is extremely heavy and cannot be carried. Okay. Pull rug. And there we are. With great effort, the rug is moved to one side of the room, revealing the dusty corner of a closed trapdoor. Now, I always find this kind of funny because I always wonder how many... When I was in the room, when they said oriental rug, I just kept trying to pull and take the rug, and I figured out the trapdoor, but I always wondered how many people walked into that room and didn't think the possibility of trapdoors. So, open trapdoor. The door reluctantly opens to reveal a rickety staircase descending into darkness. Okay, check my inventory again. Rope, brass lantern providing light and swords. So, examine. Case. Trophy case. The trophy case is empty. By the way, I'm going to... Apparently, if you're meant to, like, put valuables into the case and everything, like that oriental egg, but apparently when I went back up, I couldn't find it. I've lost the egg. I have the rope, the brass lantern, and the sword, but I have lost the egg, the priceless Fabergé egg. I guess that is, it's almost like a metaphor for something, I don't know. So let's head down that great big, down the trapdoor. You're in a dark and damp cellar with a narrow passage leading north and a crawlway to the south. On the west is the bottom of a steel metal ramp, which is unclimbable. Your sword is glowing with a faint blue glow. Okay, so let's go south. East of chasm. You're on the east of a chasm, the bottom of which cannot be seen. A narrow passage goes north, and the path you are on continues to the east. Your sword is no longer glowing. So let's go east. Gallery. This is an art gallery. Most of the paintings have been stolen by vandals with exceptional taste. The Valdings left through either the north or west exits. Fortunately, there is still one chance for you to be a vandal, for on the far wall is a painting of unparalleled beauty. Well, take that painting, if you please. This is kind of what pretty much every single adventure game... I remember I said that adventure games teach you to be kleptomaniacs. Well, it all started with text adventure games. Okay, so I'll look around again. This is an art gallery. So, north or west. So I'll go north. Studio. This appears to have been an artist's studio. The walls and floors are splattered with paints of 69 different colors. Strangely enough, nothing of value is hanging here. And to the south end of the room, there's an open door, also covered with paint. A dark and narrow chimney leads up from a fireplace. Although you might be able to get up it, it seems unlikely you could get back down. Loosely attached to the wall is a small piece of paper. Read paper. Congratulations! You are the privileged owner of Zork 1, the Great Underground Empire, a self-contained and self-maintaining universe. If used and maintained in accordance with the normal operating practices for small universes, Zork will provide many months of trouble-free operation. That's great. Let's go up that chimney. Okay, up. I'll just type up. You can't go up there with what you're carrying. A seedy-looking vigil with a large bag just wandered through the room. On the way through, he quietly abstracted some valuables from the room and from your possession, mumbling something about doing unto others before. Okay. Okay, hang on a second. Hit guy. Sorry, hang on a second. Hit guy. Okay, hit thief. Okay. Okay, I spelled thief. I before E, except after C. Okay. With sword. You don't see any thief here. Okay, check my inventory. Okay, I've got the Zork owner manual, the rope, the brass lantern providing light, the sword. He took the painting. Okay. So let me get this straight. I get a Fabergé egg, and I lose it when a Gru pretty much kills me. I grab a painting of unparalleled beauty and a thief takes it from me. I mean, maybe I'm being a bit of a kleptomaniac is, but it clears I'm not the only one. I suppose there's maybe some moral here about it's not so nice when it's one of your items being stolen. But anyway, south gallery, south, okay, west, whatever, east of chasm, north, cellar, your sword is glowing north again. I'm going to keep going. The troll room, okay, so this must be where they post... This must be where people post bad comments on the internet. It's kind of, you know, I'm still trying to try to work out this place because apparently I went through the trap door. I ended up in this great big cavern that has painting studios and stuff, but whatever. The troll room. This is a small room with passages to the east and south and a foreboding hole leading to the west. Blood stains and deep scratches, perhaps made by an axe, mar the walls. A nasty-looking troll brandishing a bloody axe blocks all passage out of the room. Your sword has begun to glow very brightly. So here's the question. Can we talk to the troll and come to some sort of arrangement? Well, I'm normally Normally I would say just go in and swing the sword at the troll, because apparently the thief didn't take that. But whatever. Let's see. Talk to troll. The troll isn't much of a conversationalist. The troll pauses for a moment, perhaps thinking you should reread the manual. Okay, maybe the manual said... Okay, whatever. Attack. Troll. Or maybe I should wait for he... Apparently this game is deriding me for trying to actually communicate with people rather than... Ah, well. Attack troll. Strike with blood. The troll is disarmed by a subtle feint past his guard. The troll, angered and humiliated, recovers his weapon. He appears to have an axe to grind with you. Well, literally. Attack troll. With the sword. A good stroke, but it's too slow. The troll dodges. The axe sweeps past you as you jump aside. Oh, sugar. Okay, we're in combat now. I could try to get out, but screw it. There's no other way out. I gotta keep at it. Swing sword at troll. The sword misses the troll by an inch. The axe crashes against the rock, throwing sparks. Hit troll with sword. The troll is confused and can't fight back. The troll slowly regains his feet. Stab troll. It's curtains for the troll as your sword removes his head. Oh, dear gosh, that's a bit gruesome, but... You see, this is what video game violence is about these days. People, trolls getting decapitated, and kids trying to learn to take on, to fight for their lives with random trolls. But even though if they were attacked first, it's self-defense. I'm sure any legal person would say that I was using necessary force with which to protect myself, given the fact that he was blocking the entrances and stuff. Okay. Almost as soon as the troll breathes the last breath, a cloud of sinister black fog envelops him, and when the fog lifts, the carcass has disappeared. The sword is no longer glowing. Well, it seems that I am victorious. This is it. I am David the Troll Slayer. And, I mean, of course, there's a famous bronze statue of David holding the great big Goliath's head in his hands, but in this case, despite decapitating the troll has disappeared and I have no trophy as a head. As morbid and disgusting as that would be, and how I probably wouldn't want to do it anyway, other than... But... There's no point getting panicked. I think I have prevailed. For now, we have won. Look. The troll room. This is a small room, passages to the east and south, and a forbidding hole leading west. Bloodstains and deep scratches, perhaps made by an axe, mar the walls. There is a bloody axe here. Well, he's not the only one with an axe to grind. Take axe. Taken. I have now an axe. An axe. A sword, rope, brass lantern, and the Zork owner's manual. I'll read that manual again. Because, you know, apparently... Oh, Namuel. Damn it. Read manual. You're the privileged owner of Zork, maintained, bloody, bloody... Okay, I'm going west into that. You're in a maze. Oh, for fudges. These mazes could often pervade text adventure games. They're not actually meant to be good... It's not actually meant to be a good thing to have a maze in your adventure game. It's meant to be one of the most annoying things possible for most of the users. But they get put in, and of course with Zork, it's kind of one of the earlier ones, and people look at it with nostalgia that overlooks the fact that it was a terrible idea even back then. But okay. Maze. This is part of the maze of twisty little passages all alike. Okay. West. This is part of a maze of twisty little passages all alike. Okay. East again. I'm getting out of here. Dead end. You've come to a dead end of the maze. Okay. So I went west twice. When I go east, I come to a dead end. Okay. So north. You can't go that way. Okay. South. This is part of a maze of twisty little passages, all alike. Okay. West. This is part of a maze of twisty little passages. Okay. North. Maze. This is part of twisty little passages. X, okay, sorry, I don't know why I pressed X there. I'm not handling this very well. East, dead end. Oh, for fudge's sake, north. You can't go that way. West, you can't go that way. South, this maze, twisty little passages all alike. South again, you can't go that way. East, dead end, you've come to a dead end. West, you can't go that way. North, you can't go that way. East, you can't go that way. West, south, you can't go that way. South, part of twisty little passages all alike. West. This is part of twisty little passages. Okay, keep calm. Twisty little passages. West can't go that way. North can't go that way. East. There's many twisty little passages all alike. East. You can't go that way. North. Twisty little passages. East. Dead end. North. Can't go that way. West. Can't go that way. South. Twisty little passages. East. Dead end. You come to a dead end. West. You can't go that way. North. You can't go that way. I'm never going to get east. You can't go that way. South. This is a part of twisty little passages all like... Okay, this is the sort of stuff that nostalgia covers up. Okay. South. You can't go that way. West. This is a part of a maze of twisty little... Okay. I've got an idea. Drop... Manual. Dropped. Okay, look. Zorkoner's manual here. This is it. I can use the breadcrumbs. North. This is part of a maze of twisty little passages all like. North. Maze of twisty little passages. North. Maze of twisty little passages. North. Twisty little passages. East. The troll. Thank you. I have made it to the troll room. This is a game where I have... And I am... I have made it to the troll room, and I am just out of time. Okay. So, that, my friends, is Zork, developed by Infocom, early 80s, classic game, has twisty little passages, grooves, orc murder, twisted galleries, trapdoors that leads to gigantically extensive dungeons, and I am just out of time. So, I think this was a pretty nice little thing to try, experiment. I don't know how well it was for you guys, but thank you. If you are still listening to this, thank you very much. The story is, I have been robbed. I have looked at canyons. I have looked at waterfalls. I have made it into dark dungeons, and I will be seeing you next time where we get back to just playing music and talking about the games they're from. David Collins with BitNote, thank you for listening.